Thanks for joining us, by the way.
No problem.
Yes, thank you.
No
problem. Mr. Warren Hayes, for returning to the show, first time in almost 2 years. What the hell?
I know.
He's like, oh, it's just going to be us, so it might be short. And I was like, do you want me to invite Warren? Because he's not doing anything, guaranteed.
I was just about to pull out a plate of leftovers and have dinner. So you got me at the perfect time.
Dinner can wait. The only reason I didn't, and I was saying this to your lovely fiance before you joined us, the only reason I didn't ask, the only reason I haven't asked you in the past 2 years to please return to Grit and Glitter is because I always assume, like, oh, you've already talked about all this on your own channels. You don't want to talk about it again.
I always want to talk about pro wrestling, and I love repeating myself.
He really does.
Yeah, I love repeating myself.
He loves to hear his own voice, so it's fine.
And not even a chuckle? Come on now. I did it. No one got the joke?
Yes, we got it.
Well, dear listeners, this is Grit and Glitter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the power of women's wrestling. My name is Harley Vasquez. She's Kristen Ashley. He's Mr. Warren Hayes. Welcome to the show, gang.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for having me, Harley. It's been a while.
It's been, yes, and my Canadian brethren are so few and far between that I need to really hang on to those relationships.
Yes, it's crucial. Crucial so that we can, you know, befuddle our American counterparts with our knowledge of Celsius, centigrades, and the metric system.
Yeah. Hey, Kristen, how many centimeters tall are you?
No clue. Wow. You want me to Google it? I don't know. I'm not gonna say my weight on air.
Yes, my apologies. Are talking about AEW Revolution 2024, AEW's first pay-per-view of 2024, not the last. Rumors have it we're looking at like 9 this year, maybe. I think we got another 8 coming.
Pay-per-views?
Yeah. That's
scuttlebutt. Really?
Yeah, I think that's what he said on the media call. He was aiming for, he said the sweet spot was 9 to 10, right? I think that's exactly what he said.
Jeez.
Plus 3 Ring of Honor, I think, to round it out. Basically,
that's a lot for AEW, right?
They got a lot of people. I mean, it's not as if they're gonna run out of staff anytime soon.
Yeah, that's the real question, right? Is, are we gonna be seeing every title defended on every pay per view? Are we gonna be seeing the same players in major positions? Or is it going to be almost like a pseudo brand split where it's like, oh, like this month, the TBS Women's Champion was in a tag match on the 0 Hour. Maybe next month she's on the main card defending the title and Toni Storm's not on the show at all. Or, you know, Adam Copeland's on the show, but Darby Allin isn't. Do we alternate like that a bit?
Well, it's hard to say because they book themselves into a corner. Where there's only so many stories. I mean, do you build a story and interest in like a month? Probably not. I don't know.
There's precedent though for that. I believe All Out this year? Was it All Out that was headlined by Mox and Orange Cassidy, right? Because you know MJF wasn't on that show because they had just done Wembley, right? So MJF wasn't on the show. There was a couple of people who were not on the show, and the main event was the international title, basically.
Wasn't that like the next week?
but
that was like a 1 week turnaround.
Yeah, but there you go. I mean, that's the first example that came to mind. But you know, there have been shows where people have been absent. At the same time, Tony knows who his draws are. He knows who the people love to see. You know, and he'll make sure that those people are on. And there might be. I mean, it's healthy to cycle. It's healthy to cycle regardless. I still think people should cycle between wrestling companies much more liberally, because it'd be good for them and it'd be good for the business. It'd be good for everyone instead of being, locked down for years in a contract. So I have no issues with it. But there will always be the decisions will be made that in regards to who are your draws, who are the people who are generating interest, and those are the people that will be privileged, I guess, to be put on the shows, which is what wrestling has always been, essentially.
Yeah, the way this one unfolded, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy sit the next one out.
Yeah.
Give him a little time to heal.
Yes, a little bit.
Darby's going to climb Mount Everest, right? Like in a week?
No, he's not. Really?
Yeah. He's leaving in a week. This is not a bit. This is not a bit. He's leaving I think he's doing his match on Wednesday against Jay White, and then is it this Wednesday or next Wednesday? Anyway, by the end of the month, he's Sherpa-ing his way up Mount Everest.
So Darby versus the Yeti at AEW Dynasty.
He really has a death wish, huh? What does Tony Khan think about that? Like, hey, I'm going to go do some really rough climbing. Hopefully I come back. Bye.
Tons of people have died trying to climb this. See ya.
See ya. Wow. Again, Tony's like, oh, sure. Like, that seems, I don't know. That seems like a liability. Liability in my eyes. But I guess if he's got time off, he can't probably really tell him what to do with it.
I'm going to climb Everest, cough and drop off the top, put it in a video package.
Wouldn't that be great, huh?
Through glass.
Death wish.
So this time around, it was Revolution. This is AEW, so we had two women's matches on the card. a total of 6 women competing in 2 matches compared to 39 men competing in 10 matches, but who's counting?
Who's counting?
On the Zero Hour, we kicked things off women's style with tag team action. Julia Hart, the TBS champion, and Sky Blue taking on Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. We had Stokely Hathaway on commentary. Do Julia and Sky have a team name or stable name? Sky's not officially part of House of Black, right?
No,
she's not. Julia, in my head canon, she's Julia's underling.
Yeah, so she's not like Igor's not part of the Frankenstein family. He's just around.
Like, that is a perfect example. Yes.
I would like to say on air or on record that I did not. I don't think that's she's not Igor. I just want to say that. I would not call her Igor. That is a Harley thing. Thank you.
All right. Well, on the other side, we have apparently the family. Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale, Stokely Hathaway. They are apparently best buds now. Everything's copacetic. They're going to Sears and getting family portraits taken. Everything seems very, very chill over there.
Yes, right up until Stokely decides that it's no longer chill. Because you know that's eventually coming, of course.
Yeah, so this one has been unfolding for a couple of... When did Stat lose the title to Julia? Because that was a three-way with Sky Blue. Was that at, like, that was November, right?
I believe... Well, it was last fall. It was probably at Full Gear, yeah.
Yeah, so this has been going on for a while. This somewhat... Yeah, this feud, this storyline between the four of them.
Yeah, and it went down into Ring of Honor as well, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it bubbled there with Sky Blue working there and Stokely and so on and so forth. So, yeah, there's been a lot of it's been crossing lines in the Tonyverse. Yes.
Which it has to. Right. Because of how small the divisions are. It has to.
Yeah, so in recent history, it seemed like going into this, the story was Stokely maybe luring Statlander to the dark side, maybe forming some sort of rift between them. Right now, everything seems great, and there's no cheating in this one from their side of things. Everything, like, Willow and Stat won the match fair and square. Stokely was on commentary, just being like a supportive brother. I guess father. I don't know how this family dynamic really plays out.
Yeah, I'll be honest, and this is gonna sound crazy from somebody who is a women's wrestling advocate. I really have no interest in the story. Like, I know Warren was, you know, we were talking about it, and he's like, "Oh no, it's been building." And I said, "Has it? Has it?" And I would say I watch AEW more than any other. Consistently more than any other live program. And I know what they're trying to do with Sky Blue, but I am so confused with this, the family thing. I didn't even know they had a name. I mean, it makes sense for them to pair up just because of, you know, their strengths and their styles. But I mean, I see Stokely around. That's always exciting. But I did not realize that this was a whole feud. I think that speaks to either I am not paying attention or it hasn't been very time invested or both. I don't know.
Well, yeah, like you said, we talked about it. I think it's been for a mid-card feud. I think it's been very well done. There's a lot of stuff that's been happening on Collision. The ladies have had singles matches leading up to this confrontation. I'm surprised at how much I like the Statlander Willow Stokely pairing, or I don't know if it's a pairing if there's three people, the group anyway.
Grouping.
The grouping. I don't know if at first I found it a little weird, but they're growing into it and they're natural. I think their natural like for one another is coming through. Like, I feel like they all legitimately like working with each other. And I think that's the big selling point of why this is working, why this is coming across. And then when they get into the ring, well, you know, it works and works even better. I really like the match. I really like the pre-show match. From Revolution, I thought it was very, very good. It's one of these these oddball pairings that you're at first glance you're like, this is weird, this is not going to work, but oddly enough, it's working. You know, it's but you know you've got Stokely who is, you know, full of charisma. And so is Willow. Willow is just like so delightful, and you just want to you just gravitate to her. And Chris, who is she's having a good time, and it comes across like she's enjoying herself. So that's appealing. Oddly, it's working. If that makes sense.
We've seen Tony Khan be willing to pivot a little bit when things take off in ways that you maybe don't expect. I feel like we saw that with the Acclaimed when they like really. Caught on fire. Mm-hmm. I feel like the initial MJF Adam Cole take team ended up lasting a lot longer than they might have originally intended because people are having so much fun with it. And so I'm curious now to see how things play out in that sense, because yeah, it feels like the three, I'll say three baby faces feel like they're having a lot of fun with each other. And I like this match.
Let's just be clear. The three baby faces are Stokely and...
Yes.
Yeah, because... Yeah. Well, that's my thing. It's like the obvious outcome to all of this is that he secretly causes a rift between Chris and Willow. One of them turns heel. Come on, it's not Willow. Willow's not turning heel. No. Chris turns heel, and then the two of them feud. But I'm kind of enjoying, like you said, Warren, I like seeing these three together. It seems like they're genuinely having fun, especially in those photo shoots that were posted today. And I'm
Aren't they delightful?
Yeah, but what if instead of that obvious outcome of he causes a rift and Chris turns heel and Chris and Willow feud for a couple of months, what if this is just like Stokely turns babyface and they just like hang out and do stuff for a couple of months with like against other heel teams? Like, I'm kind of okay with that. They had both teams in this match impressed me with having a lot of double team maneuvers and like sequences that they worked out where they were working with each other, where both teams felt like teams, not just two singles wrestlers thrown together.
Yeah, I will say with Chris and Willow, I hope that they don't break them up for a while. Because except for, you know, TJ, they haven't had really any strong, like, always paired women's tag teams. And, you know, when we're talking in, you know, PWI for the tag team 100, it's very clear that there's just, they don't have much tag team wrestling for women that is consistent, that isn't, you know, oh, on this episode of Rampage, so-and-so is with so-and-so, which frankly, to me at least, feels a little bit like, well, let's get some women in. This feels like there's even a name, Family, that's so rare. I will say I'm not in love with the Sky Blue Julia Hart pairing, simply because I think Julia is stronger on her own. I understood why last night that they did this and that they put her on 0 hour just because she's coming back. But I see what they're trying to do with Sky Blue, and it's not hitting the same as when they did with Julia Hart. I feel like Julia Hart just stands better on her own, in my opinion.
To bounce off of what Harley said, I thought that... I'm kind of surprised. Well, yeah, not surprised in the sense that, oh my God, I'm shocked, you know, but you know, how about this? It's very nice to see, like you said, these women coalescing as teams and working as teams. I really like the in-ring pairing of Willow and Statlander. I feel they complement each other really well. And I feel like they feed off each other's energy very well, to the degree that it shows in their performances. It shows in their wrestling. They were working very strong last night, and they were laying into Sky Blue and Julia, and that's the kind of thing that gets my blood pumping. It's, you know, it's pro wrestling. Sure, we all understand it's fixed, but you still want to be convinced that this is a fight. You still want to see people being athletic and, you know, and being violent to a degree with each other. I thought both Statlander and Willow were just tremendous. They were. And you know, I kind of felt like they guided the younger girls through the match as well. You know, Sky and Julia, who are still nonetheless very, very rookie-ish, and especially Julia, you know. But that is not to say that she hasn't grown tremendously, and she's really developing into an all-rounded performer. But they really took control of the match. They really guided the match through. I thought it was very, very good. I I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Again, not because I don't like those women, but it's a pre-show match. It's, you know, a tag team match, which maybe is a little bit of a throwaway. I thought it was good. I thought it was really, really good. And these pairings work. That's all there is to it. These pairings work.
Willow pins Sky with the Babe with the Powerbomb. 13 minutes, 30 seconds. So obvious next step is Willow versus Julia for the TBS title, maybe at the next pay-per-view.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Like, it's Julia did not get pinned, right, for the title, and sure it's Willow, but maybe this is where Stokely starts stoking the fires a little bit, where you know it's like, well, sure, but it could also be Statlander who challenges, you know, because yeah, you got the pin, but you know it wasn't the champion that you pinned, so Statlander could still be up. Like, maybe this is where we get, you know, maybe a little dissenti poo throughout it all, you know, where it eventually leads to Statlander and Willow going, having a number one contenders match, and that brings us to the pay-per-view kind of thing.
I don't know. My feeling is, actually my kind of hope is, just because I want a strong tag team, is that like Julia turns on Sky. You know, I mean, just knowing how bookers book with women teams, you know, the kind of, why are you trying to be like me, kind of how almost Tony treats Mariah in a way. And you know, you're never going to be me. And, you know, you got pinned, right? Cause that sometimes plays into feuds, is you got pinned. I don't know. I mean, they have to do something with Julia's title. That's for sure. I'm just, honestly, I'm not sure where they go from here. There's a lot of options for sure.
I would love to see the House of Black involved a little bit more, even just in like promo segments or something, because purely for the entertainment value of Stokely going like face to face with Brody King or Malakai Black, something like that, you know, trying to big up against one of those guys. I just, you know, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he gets into go ahead. He gets into that spooky mood, you know, like I could see him playing off of that, like doing his own spooky thing. It'd be funny.
You know, Brody King used for a while came out with, would accompany Julia to her matches, right? And for some reason, this kind of stopped. And I don't know why, because I thought that was cool as hell. Because the visual of Brody, huge, towering, behemoth, you know, Brody King next to petite Julia Hart, that it was a striking visual every time. You know, it was really cool. They should do that again. Mm-hmm.
Well, these seem to be the only four women kind of circling around the TBS title right now. Because we've got other women doing things, but it's all separate from the title picture. We got Ruby Soho and Saraya and Harley Cameron. They got something going on. Serena Deeb has been boasting a lot and kind of talking a big game, waiting for somebody to step up to her. Thunder Rosa, I don't know what's going on with her. Hikaru Shida is missing in action. So it seems like we're going to get some sort of combination of these four circling around the title for the foreseeable future, at least.
Which is fine. You know, these are all good prospects. It works. It makes sense, you know. Like you said, you know, people still missing. Sheeta's not around. But then, you know, look, I mean, Deonna Purrazzo, after Revolution, they're going to have to find something to do with her. She'll be out of the world title picture for a while. There's still a couple of people, you know, Taya and whatnot. Taya had her moment. She's in Ring of Honor now, maybe a little more. I don't know. Right now, this kind of works. I I don't mind like this little, like you said, you called it a circle. I think it makes sense, this little click around the TBS title. If anything, look, I mean, it's nice to be able to talk about the TBS title and having a circle around it and a universe that actually makes sense, as opposed to when it was Jade, where it was just Jade, you know, and just plowing through people. And you never really had, like, for lack of a better term, a universe around the belt, contenders, you know, people that could actually, that you felt could actually challenge for it. It was always like, who's going to be the person to be Jade? Oh, it's got to be Chris Statlander. Okay, well, in the meantime, what are we doing, you know? So it's a refreshing conversation to have, too.
Yeah, even if we don't love the story or we're not sure about certain beats of it, we have a story. Whereas for the longest time, Jade's story was just like her versus Challenger of the Month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Speaking of stories, something that's almost more story than anything else. It is Timeless Toni Storm, our AEW Women's Champion. She was defending against her old friend, Deonna Purrazzo. They had matching tattoos. Toni used to live at Deonna's house back before she lost her mind. There was all sorts of things going on here. Deonna arrived beginning of January, I think, in AEW. Yeah, really right at the start of the year. And she's had a lot of attention this year. She is up there in terms of like number of matches on TV, gets consistent promo time every week, which is great. It's so nice to see for Deonna, because she suffered through like years in ROH and NXT where she was very good and just like not given anything to work with. So here she is in AEW, and kind of the first big jump from Impact to AEW, right? We had a lot of people go from WWE to AEW.
Taya, I guess.
But even Taya hasn't been given the treatment that Deonna's been given.
Right.
Are we just talking women, or?
I guess, yeah. Which men went from Impact to?
Well, it's funny because, you know, it was announced today that Mike Santana is done with AEW, but Santana and Ortiz, when they jumped from early on from, and that was a big deal because Santana and Ortiz were tremendous. They were hot when they jumped to AEW, so that was a big deal. Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's probably a really obvious one that I'm not putting my finger on.
Regardless, Deonna's been treated very well going into this pay-per-view, treated like a big deal. It wouldn't have been inconceivable for her to win the title here, I don't think. It would have been like shocker of shockers, although I was definitely leaning towards Toni retaining.
I would have been shocked, for sure.
A lot of the build is Deonna saying, I want the old Toni. I want the Toni that I used to know. I want the Toni that I used to be friends with. So we get the music, it hits, it out she comes, the old Toni Storm in the red and the black, all rocking, ready to go. And then you go, wait a minute, something feels off here. Did she have something done to her face? Like, what's? And you're like, it's Mariah.
She had me. I was maybe like a half, I don't know, 30 seconds before Warren's feed. And I went, oh, and he went, what? And I went, it's Throwback Toni. And it wasn't. She had me. She had the face down. The only thing that was different was her hair. It was long. But I thought, well, you know, if you just looked real quick and you just looked at the, you know, the whatever you want to call it, the screen and in the entrance, you think, oh, wow, no, she got us, tricked us. It was really good.
I'm just glad it's Mariah May doing it, not Luther.
It might have been funnier, though, for sure.
So Mariah May's at ringside, dressed as old school Toni Storm. Luther is at ringside in full butler mode. I never know how to talk about these matches. I will say, I don't think I I don't watch AEW regularly, weekly TV, so this might have been the first Tony match I saw since she won the title. I thought she did a much better job here of balancing character work with in-ring work, because I did not care for that match where she won the title with like the metal serving tray stuck down the back of her pants and stuff like that. I thought that was like, there wasn't enough wrestling in that. This was closer to it. I really like the character, and I really like the approach, and I think we really benefit from having larger than life characters in wrestling. There's a reason Rosemary is so beloved and has been around for so long as a character, because like having these high concept characters, a lot of people can really sink their teeth into it and really like grab onto the myth and the lore and the sometimes comedy elements of all that. But I don't know how it translates once the bell rings. That's always tough for me.
I agree. This did seem, from what I've seen, and I noticed that it seemed more about wrestling. I think it would have been disappointing if it wasn't as wrestling as it was, just because of who Deonna is and their story. So I talk about this with Warren all the time. I like the gimmick. I don't know where you go from her gimmick, how you get her out of the gimmick. I don't think it's forever. So how that ends is going to be really interesting. But I get annoyed because it's like they can't decide on an era. They go all over the place with her. And now she's got this Mildred Burke thing, whereas before it was like a silent film thing, and they're all over the map. And as somebody who really likes, you know, old Hollywood, I kind of get annoyed a little bit by it. And then in the scrum, she's all Timeless Tony, which I think is kind of annoying, frankly. Jill wasn't, you know, nobody else was all script, but she was. Then it's funny, but at what point does it get kind of old, you know?
To be completely transparent, I didn't like their match last night. I thought it was beneath them, both of them. Because Toni Storm is one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. I think it's difficult to argue that. And she's had tremendous matches in AEW, and we know she can go. And I think the Timeless, and again, to be completely transparent again, the Timeless Toni Storm stuff is not for me. Like, it doesn't resonate with me, and it annoys me more than anything else. But, you know, I'm able to separate my feelings about the gimmick and the wrestling when it's time, because that's where it counts ultimately, when it's time to wrestle. And what I felt last night is that the gimmick was getting in the way, because Toni Storm is able to be faster. She's able to be more explosive. She's able to be more crisp than that. And Deonna, who is a wrestler that I really like and is a lovely human being on top of that, Deonna is a wrestler who wrestles up to the quality of her opponent, right? Like, she's like a chameleon in that way. So I was excited coming into this match, where I was like, well, Tony rules and Deonna is going to get up on that level because Tony's a prime wrestler. But Tony's delivery wasn't there, and I only have this gimmick to blame. And it's weird to me because, you know, I think a lot of people, because, you know, there is a lot of pushback. Let's put it that way. Let's put it kindly, mild, in regards to the Timeless Toni Storm gimmick. I think a lot of people would be much more forgiving of it, or much more accepting of it. How about that? If Toni continued to be her regular usual beast in the ring. But mm-hmm. She's not. You said it yourself, you know, Harley when she won the title with the gimmicks in her shorts. It's like, you know, same thing with me. I was like, what are we doing here? What is she doing here? You know? And, you know, it annoys me because I feel like we're diving into the worst reflexes of the other company. Like, we're digging into their worst reflexes. There's another word. It's not coming to me, unfortunately, right now. It's sort of bleeding into it's bleeding into the matches, and the matches then turn out to just be stale and mediocre and average. And that's not what Toni Storm should be. Toni Storm should not be mediocre. She should be great.
I think too, like, she's a world title holder in this really very gimmick capacity, whereas you look at the men's title, I mean, who had a really gimmicked personality when they had the men's world title? I can't, maybe Jericho, I can't think of anybody.
You could argue MJF, because he's doing like the kangaroo kicks and like wrestling handicap matches.
And there was a lot of pushback on MJF's title run. Yeah,
and I've seen a lot of people online be like, oh, doesn't AEW as a whole feel like so much more refreshing, whatever, now that Joe's champ and MJF hasn't been around?
That's true. It's true, but to Kristen's point, she's not wrong, you know? Joe doesn't have a gimmick per se. It's Samoa Joe. You know, when Kenny Omega had a gimmick, right? He was this over-the-top, evil, like full of himself superstar. I don't know if you recall that, right? He'd refuse to give Adam Page a shot and so on and so forth. But then when Adam Page won the title, it was just, Hangman's gimmick is that, you know, he wears things that resemble cowboy outfits. That's his, you know, that's his gimmick. But yeah, to Kristen's point, if the gimmick supersedes, the gimmick doesn't have to be this thick.
Yeah.
When it comes to your world champions, you just want your world champions to be good representatives of the title. You want them to wrestle to their capacity, and I don't think we're getting that with Toni. And last night, I kind of think it was a disaster. The pre-show match was way better than the world title match, and that's kind of nuts, you know? It's weird.
Yeah, I didn't hate the world title match. I just thought it finished, and I was like, that was a little blah. It was a little whatever. It was the shortest match of the night, including both matches on the pre-show. And that's always weird to say about the world title, right? It's like 12:15, shortest match of the entire night. The finish was just very uninspired, you know? Like... Mm. Yeah. Deonna has a submission, Luther distracts the ref, Toni taps out, ref doesn't see it, Mariah interferes, Toni wins. And it's one of these things where it's like, regardless of how people like Warren feel, a lot of people really like Toni. There were loud chants for her, they were really liking the gimmick last night, which again is like, that's not good for Deonna. Deonna's supposed to be this new baby face that just arrived, and she's like fighting an uphill battle because people love Toni. And Toni's not exactly going for heat, right? She's not really cheating. She cheated at the end. Like, the finish to this match, on paper, no different than the finish to the TNT title match. Exact same finish for Christian, right? The babyface is outnumbered. The heel has a bunch of people on the ringside. One person distracts on this side. Another person does something on this side. The heel steals it. They're still the champ. But Christian gets away with it because of the way he carries himself. He's so smug and so smarmy that you want to see him get punched out. You want to see Killswitch and Nick Wayne get what's coming to them. I'm not watching this match going, oh, I really want to see Luther get what's coming to him. I really want to see Mariah May get put in her place. Because, like, I don't... Aside from cheating at the end of the match, what has Mariah or Luther really done to make us, like, want to see them get theirs?
Right. Right. I mean, I hate to say it again, but, you know, the difference between MJF and Tony Storm is MJF, his gimmick was MJF, right? I'm the best in the world, whatever. Whereas Tony Storm is like a character. Like, Timeless Tony is a character. And even when you look back at former women's, maybe you could say Britt Baker was sort of, but Britt Baker was just Britt Baker. And there was no, like, there was no, you know, outfit changes. There was no black and white filters. Timeless Tony is, it's really heavy. And I think it's really going to hurt. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this transitions away. It cannot just be like somebody in the past who just goes and takes a break, drops it, takes a break. How do you get rid of that gimmick eventually? Because eventually you have to. Eventually it's going to get old. And I agree. I think besides a few spots, I know Deanna slapped Tony, just slapped the nonsense out of her. Besides a few spots, they still felt like friends. They still like friends. And I agree. Does Luther have a personality as this character? You know, I don't know. I think for me, I really, really loved it at first, and now it's just all going downhill. And I feel like Deanna's going to be the one to pay for it.
I mean, excuse me, that's a, you know, it's a good point you bring up. You both brought up is, yeah, Deanna's battle is immediately uphill, where she's grounded. You know, she's making sense. She's a pro wrestler. She wants to come in. She wants to win the world title. And Tony Storm is just so big, so huge, you know, the biggest personality and just full of charisma. And how is she supposed to compete with that? Like, her whole story was, like, essentially, you know, I was trying not to read between the lines too much here. But the story essentially was her saying, I want the old Tony Storm. I want my friend. I want, basically saying, dump the gimmick, come wrestle. You know, I was like, that's kind of how I was feeling it. And I was like, yeah, that's what we want. We want you guys to have a great match. And I feel like that's where we were going. It's a weird one. And she was in a very unfortunate spot. Now Deanna's kind of in a spot, is in another kind of spot where it's like, well, she can't hang around the world title picture, not yet anyway. She, you know, opinion here, I really didn't think the match was very good. I thought it was mediocre. Deanna is already gonna have to go through a bit of rehabilitation. What do you do with Deanna here? Does she gravitate around the TBS title? Does she do stuff with Mercedes Moné if/when she comes in? You know, it's unfortunate. I think Deanna exits all of this she exits all of this really having lost a lot. I think she really did lose a lot in the eyes of AEW fans, and it's gonna take a bit to reconstruct.
She got the visual win. She got Tony tapping out behind the referee's back. So does she leave the title picture, or is that enough to warrant a rematch?
In all honesty, like, or do we want a rematch? Because I saw this and I'm like, no, let's put this on ice. I don't want to see this again. Not for a bit, you know? That's what I mean.
I'd be interested in a rematch if it adds a new layer to the story, right? Like, if in the rematch she pulls out the old Tony, you know, give him a little bit more time, and in the first 5 minutes Deanna's just kicking her ass, and all of a sudden Timeless Tony starts wrestling like the old Tony. It's on a subconscious level. She starts picking up the speed. She starts being a bit more vicious, more heelish in the ring. I feel like there is a balance that could be struck where she doesn't need to completely drop the whole gimmick. We don't need like a Gilligan's Island situation. She could suddenly have the coconut and now she's back to the old Tony.
That's a great reference.
That's awesome. I was thinking of an Acme safe, you know, so that's what I had.
We don't have to go all that. I'm like, I want Timeless Tony to succeed because I like characters. I grew up on 90s WWF, so I like the characters. I was a little sad when Chris Statlander stopped being Alien and just started being like big strong gal. But there definitely needs to be a way to have her wrestle to her full potential. And if she's going to be a heel, make us hate her, make us want to see the babyfaces win. Or go the other way and just embrace it. Be like, the fans love this character? Okay. Put her against Serena Deeb. Put her against Saraya. Give her, like, some matches so we can cheer her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the issue with what comes next is that if Mercedes shows up, that throws a huge wrench, because unless they start like two women's matches on Dynamite consistently, you know, two to three on Collision, like we're kind of dropping women because there's really nowhere to go with them. Now, in my dream world, I think, too, that if Mercedes shows up, there's nowhere else to go with her but the world title. I don't know how you bring somebody in and you're like, okay, have fun on Collision with ROH women. Like, that's not going to happen. So then that leaves Deonna. Now, there's no indication this would ever happen, not anytime soon. But my dream is that Jamie Hayter comes back. She's been gone for 30 years. And now we got Jamie Hayter and Deonna. Jamie Hayter is a babyface, but she also can play brutal. I mean, she's played heel. And Deonna, they have very similar wrestling styles. I can't remember if they met in the ring or not. I don't know if they passed each other in Stardom or not. But, I mean, that would be like a dream. But is that going to happen? I don't know. So where do you go with Deonna? Do you go with Deep? Do you go with Thunder Rosa, who I think is sort of building back up to be in the ring? I would like a Thunder Rosa Deeb again, versus Deeb again. But I it's like, how do you go anywhere else with Mercedes? So then what's gonna happen to the rest of the roster, which has been my concern since day one?
Yeah, the assumption right now, March 13th, AEW Dynamite in Boston, Mercedes Moné debuts. Then we've got the very first Dynasty pay-per-view, April 21st. Don't know how that's going to be treated, if it's going to be treated like a big deal pay-per-view or like a more low-key one. May we know is Double or Nothing. That's a big deal pay-per-view for AEW. That's like top matches. Every champion got to be on that show, right? So my assumption would be something like Mercedes Moné wrestles, you know, a good match at Dynasty. Maybe Mercedes versus Serena Deeb, since Deeb's been running her mouth, and that would be a lot of fun seeing those styles mix. And then you do Mercedes Tony at Double or Nothing.
I mean, Serena Deeb in her last promo she started calling herself the final boss. So, I mean, the signs are there. I really think that's where they're going. I'm not worried about Mercedes coming in. And you know, there. Again, this is a discussion that Kristen and I have fairly often in regards to Mercedes Moné, and you know, I understand Kristen's concerns, but I don't have a problem building a division around one person, and in fact, it makes a lot of sense. And in fact, there's a lot of precedent for that. In fact, you know, most wrestling promotions were built like that, around one person. It helps raise the tides. Rising tide lifts all boats, kind of thing. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of good that will come from this. I mean, you know, we're all we're all operating under the assumption, because it hasn't been officially announced, but you know, it's all been but officially announced that she's going to be with the company. You know, and you've got you've got Britt still hanging around in the background. She's going to make a splash at some point. I quite frankly, you know, I would be very excited for Britt versus Mercedes more than anything, because it's like, you know, the alphas going after each other, right? Like Britt coming in and saying, hey, you know what? This is my division. I built this. And then Mercedes going, well, there's a new boss in town, kind of thing. That's something I'd be very excited for. At some point, they're going to have to stop fooling around with Athena in Ring of Honor, and they're going to have to just realize that she is one of the components that AEW's women's division needs to be truly successful. And look, they've done some good hires. I think the Queen Aminata hire is tremendous. I think she's got an incredible ceiling. I think she's great. There's a, you know, and including the younger talent that they've been working on. I think Julia is a success story for the company as well. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff, and more interest, more eyeballs means more time. I only see this on a positive note.
But here's my issue, is that yes, absolutely, there are lots of promotions, both current and past, that have built around one person. But let's say we're comparing this to CM Punk. Okay, but when you look at cards, like pay-per-view cards, and seven matches are men and one match is women's, that's where I think, okay, sure, this could be a game changer for the women's division, but also you need to change how you book the women's division. Because if you're bringing in Mercedes and she's the star and you're continuously having one match on every show and every pay-per-view, what happens to the women? They're not lifted automatically. So I personally, I don't care that she goes if they treat her like a star while also not hurting the other women because of it. That's the issue. Like, if they start doing more than, you know, one Dynamite a year, I've done the stats, Harley does stats, one Dynamite a year that's got two women's matches or one women's match and one mixed tag, then yes, then bring her in and build the women's division up. But as it stands, how we just talked about, how do you build secondary stories? Where do you go with Deonna? So they need to start booking the women more if they want to really cash in on Mercedes and this, how she's going to affect the women's division. Because absolutely, you build something around Mox, you build something around CM Punk, whoever. Samoa Joe, absolutely, because there's extra room for those men on cards. That's not the case for women. And I really had hoped, I really wanted, I put out these questions for free for somebody to ask Tony at the Scrum. All right, let's say you are bringing her in. How do you actually prepare this division for it then? Because it's not just throw her in and everybody gets lifted. That's not how it works. You know, in my opinion, and I'm getting a little passionate about this, but I think there's a difference between men's stuff and women's stuff when it comes to this. It's just systematically not treated the same.
Yeah, I love when you have the champ doing their thing and they've got, maybe they're in a feud right now. This person's been going on for a couple of months over something personal. But at the same time, elsewhere on the show, somebody else is just really building up steam and they're just really making a name for themselves and building up the cred, and they're not even talking, they're not even spoken in the same conversation. So it feels like they're all off in their own little universes. And then one day, person B walks out and interrupts person A's promo, and you're like, oh shit, here we go. It's finally happening. They're face to face. Like, this is cool. I love that sort of thing. And you don't get that impact when it's like oh my god, it's Hikaru Shida making her first appearance in 4 months. Oh my god, it's Nyla Rose, who, like, what did she do? She wrestled a tag match 3 weeks ago and we haven't seen her since. You need that consistency. You need that, like, that steam behind you.
Well, I mean, the point of booking is the booking point that you both are making is absolutely correct. What you just said there, Harley, is like basic booking 101. You have your champion doing a thing, and then in the meantime, while the champion is doing a thing with someone, you're heating up a challenger. Like, mm-hmm. That's always the basics. That's how you do it. But, you know, it's not something that we are used to seeing in North America, where it's usually a revolving door of challengers, or throw everyone into a battle royal and the winner gets a shot. You know, that's not warming someone up. That's not heating them up. That's not building a challenger. It's just like, okay, either it's this person's turn or let's just do a scramble. You know, those are unfortunately tropes that do exist on the men's side as well. But you know, that don't translate into compelling rivalries afterwards when it's time to when it's time for the champion to get another challenger. I don't want to get misconstrued here. I don't think I'm definitely not saying that the minute Mercedes comes in, everyone gets shine. No, of course not. The minute Mercedes comes in, Mercedes gets shine. And that's what they should do, because she's a star, because she's a ratings mover. She's a merch seller. So, you know, they're going to they have to go hard on her. And it's probably with the money that they're spending for her as well. There's got to be some return on investment as well. But, you know, at some point, stuff lights a candle under some things happen and it lights a candle under people, right? It lights a fire and you're like, suddenly someone that you had discounted and you were like, oh, this person isn't so great, is suddenly like turning up. And Sky Blue's work over the past 2 months I think has been tremendous. I think she's been, you know, last year, she was on TV pretty much all the time, and she I don't know what her issue, what was going on, but she didn't seem motivated. She didn't seem like she wanted to be there. The past couple of months, it's been a complete turnaround. So what happened? Is it the news that someone else is coming in? Did something happen backstage, or did something just click? I couldn't tell you, but you know. It's possible for everyone to just have a spark lit, right? And then suddenly just giving it your all. And I agree. If the Booker man says, no, it's 1/4 hour for the women again this week, that's all you can really do about it. And yes, that 1/4 hour will probably be Mercedes Moné, because that's who people are going to want to see. That's who people are going to tune into. It's going to be an interesting couple of months. That's for sure.
Yeah, she has to be considered the biggest star that they've had in the women's division to date.
Unquestionably.
So
this is a huge get.
Yeah, so you have to imagine, like, you'd have to hope, pray, wake up Tony Khan. At the very least, you treat her like you treat Ospreay, right? Will they? That's our concern. And it's been years now of, like, I think things are getting better. I feel like the women's division is turning a corner. I feel like things are... And it's like, we've been seeing that a lot. So...
Yeah. I mean, look, they're giving her the CM Punk treatment, in the sense that they're having her come in and they're giving her, you know, her debut show with a special name. and they're not saying her name specifically, but they're dropping hints, you know, the B-O-S-S-T-O-N stuff, you know, it's like, okay, we get it. You know, they were doing, so he obviously, he being Tony Khan, he obviously sees the value in bringing in Mercedes and making a big splash and making a big deal out of it. So, you know, the Will Ospreay, he sort of brought him in and said, hey, here's our new signee. Like last fall, it's Will Ospreay. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. Hello. Here he is. And, but you know, they're going full steam ahead with Mercedes, which they should, don't get me wrong. They're giving her the big time treatment, which they should, again, don't get me wrong. So it's all in the follow up. And quite frankly, the follow ups are not always Tony Khan's biggest forte. That's oftentimes where he slips up. Well, you know, like I said, it's going to be a fascinating couple of months.
Yeah, if we're getting Mercedes beating Charlotte Renegade in 6 minutes on Collision.
Oh, no.
In like, you know, June.
Oh, yeah. OK, what are we doing? I was going to say. But I mean, because she should beat Charlotte Renegade in 6 minutes on Collision. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
but if that's the extent of the women's action, yeah, that night. That's not.
Right. You know, we all know how I feel about every promotion. It's all wait and see, because there's always talk, especially with AEW, and then it doesn't happen. And you can tell me all you want that you believe in your women's division, and you probably do, but when you book one women's match on a card, like for three quarters of your, you know, your pay-per-views, come on. And one out of nine? Don't insult our intelligence. So I think my concern is what all of our concern that we've mentioned is, like, how do we make sure that you're, like, actually going to do this, Tony, and not, you know, in 6 months find some big guy signee, or, you know, here comes Okada or whomever, and then what, right? So I'm going to have my reservations, and I'm going to try to stay positive. I told Warren, maybe don't watch the show with me on the 13th, because I might have all sorts of emotions about it, only because I don't know how she's going to be treated, and at least down the road. So there you go. There you go.
Prove us wrong, TK. Prove us wrong.
Yeah. Do it, I dare you.
Timeless Tony Khan. That is our show. Thank you for joining us, dear listeners. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Warren, for joining me this week on the show. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks for having me. I love it here.
Thank you so much, Harley. This is always a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Harley. Thank you for what you... Harley, thank you for what you do.
You're very thanked.
You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Patreon at Grit Glitter Pod. Kristen, where can people support you?
Well, PWI, my column should be there consistently every month now. We have some big issues coming up that we've had every year. Women's issue won't be for like a long time now, but keep an eye on that. I just got a job at Wrestling Junkie, which is a part of USA Today Sports. So that is cool. I'm writing women's analysis for that. And as we're recording this, I got confirmation that I will be at Windy City Riot. So look out for me there, and hopefully I'll get some cool interviews like Hiromu or something.
And Warren, where do we find you?
It is on the YouTube. You can find me there at Mr. Warren Hayes. And I, as of today, I have my full thoughts on the AEW Revolution pay-per-view. So if you like this little snippet of women's talk on the regarding the matches, you can head on over to my neck of the woods and pick up the rest. It's a podcast, so it's also available on your favorite feeds. The Mr. Warren Hayes Show is out there, and you can also follow me on Blue Sky. It's MrWarrenHayes.bsky.whatever. You know, I don't understand exactly, but Mr. Warren Hayes, I'm there.
Next week, my partner, M-Fear, will be back. We will be presenting another installment of our series, Living Legends, where we go in-depth on the lives and careers of some of the great women in wrestling today. We'll be joined by a very special guest next week. So special, I'm not even going to tell you whom it is. But it'll be me, M, and a special guest presenting the life and career of Kimberly Lee.